Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Monday, January the 6th. And our most read story on the website today is about a Medway mum who's been banned for life from keeping dogs after neglecting her son's bulldog. Well, Kate joins me now on the podcast with all of the details on this one. Kate, what happened?
Tanya Alabag was looking after six-year-old bulldog Caesar while his owner, her son, served time in prison. A court has heard he was in her care between March and May last year. During that time, not only did she fail to feed him properly or take him to the vet for a chronic skin condition, she also neglected to provide him with adequate water, and he was found living in a hot room with feces and urine on the floor. His plight only came to light when he was spotted by a police officer who went to the 42-year-old's home in the High Street in Walden on an unrelated matter.
Caesar was eventually taken for medical care. What do we know about his condition?
Well, Caesar was suffering from a mange infestation with fur loss, sores and scabbing across his body and face. He was also severely emaciated. Body-worn footage from the day he was found shows one officer identifying something was clearly wrong with the dog, and someone in the house was ordered to get him some water. When it was put in front of Caesar, he started to drink it straight away. Caesar also started to suffer seizures and sadly had to be put down, although despite his condition, vets treating him couldn't be sure the seizures were connected.
And Kate, what's happened to Tanya?
Well, the court heard Tanya, who is a mother of eight, knew she was responsible for Caesar's care, but that she wasn't in a position to care for him. And she recognises she should have taken him to a shelter rather than let him suffer. She pleaded guilty at an early opportunity and has been placed on a high-level community order rather than being sent to prison. She was placed on a 12-month order, which will see her attend 10 rehab sessions and complete 200 hours of unpaid work. Tanya was also ordered to pay £400 in court costs and a £114 victim surcharge. She'll pay what she owes the court at a rate of £20 a month because she's on benefit. She was also banned for life from owning a dog.
Very sad story. Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Now, flooding and fallen trees have been causing travel disruption today as you return to work and school across Kent after the Christmas break. A weather warning for heavy rain was in force earlier. That's now been lifted, but there are serious concerns about rising river levels. Earlier, rail services between Dover Priory and Ashford were affected by a tree on the line at Western Hanger, and there were delays between Ramsgate and Ashford International because of another fallen tree on the lines at Sturry and Wye. There are plenty of flood alerts in force across the county as well. Don't forget, you can get the very latest travel information by heading to the travel blog at Kent Online. Plus, you can get regular travel updates over on our sister radio station, KMFM. Three people have been arrested by police investigating an aggravated burglary near Folkestone. The occupants of a property in Corbett Road in Hawkins reported being threatened before watches and wall clocks were taken on November the 3rd. The suspects, aged 26, 33 and 53, were detained in Folkestone and Canterbury. The wife of a man who collapsed and died while out walking in Deal just days before Christmas says he was made of gold. Peter Bentley had been with his dog when he was taken ill on December the 14th. The 67-year-old, who was a granddad of eight, had taken early retirement and most recently was helping out at the Dover Outreach Centre. Justin Welby's officially stepping down as the Archbishop of Canterbury today. He resigned in November over the handling of a child abuse scandal. The Archbishop of York, Stephen Cotterill, will become temporary leader of the Church of England. During his Christmas sermon, he spoke about putting the needs of others first. Well, Bishop of Leeds, the Right Reverend Nicholas Baines, says that message hasn't changed.
Don't come into church if you think you're better than everybody else, because the first thing we do is say, no, we're not. We've messed up. And we do mess up, and we will mess up. That's why in Christian theology, God comes among us as one of us.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent woman has developed a new app which allows domestic abuse sufferers to raise a silent alarm. Ask Joan works by detecting electrical surges, which means anyone at risk can send an alert by flicking a household appliance on and off. Katie Longhurst made nearly 170 reports of abuse to four different police forces and says more needs to be done to improve communication. She's been speaking to Oliver Leader de Sax from our colleagues at KMTV.
If you look at my ex's behaviour pattern, You can always check. You can always tell when their temperament's about to change. The smallest thing will trigger them. So I used to always say to him, sit down, let's talk about this. I'll make you a cup of tea and you can tell me why you're frustrated. You can tell me what's bothering you. So for me, in that situation, I wouldn't have had to go into my bedroom and press the red button that's installed behind my bed. I wouldn't have to find the blue box and the controller in the same room as him. I could have walked to my kettle, I could have activated my silent alarm and continued as normal, knowing that an alert has been sent to my next of kin and my points of contact, and they have my safety plan and know exactly what to do, so I know that I'll be safe.
And obviously 2025 is going to be a big year for us, Joan. You're headed to Parliament in January, and you are working with local authorities. Can you kind of talk about what the scale of the rollout for us, Joan, might look like? I know you mentioned Bradford Council. It's not the only local authority you're working with. Can you kind of like describe what the next year might look like for this technology, which is going to change lives?
So for me, there's 2.4 million victims of domestic abuse within the UK. And obviously that's only the people that are in the system. So I want to help at least 1.5% of those victims. So the plan is that we roll out Joan across the UK and have that embedded within local authorities and within the police force as a replacement or to the panic alarm. Because lots of victims of domestic abuse do not want that panic alarm installed within their property. They don't want a big blue box and a big red button. Because one, you feel uncomfortable about having someone in your home. So if you're in my situation, my home, my ex-partner bugged my house. So having a strange man come in and install a panic alarm in my home, it took a lot of convincing for me to agree for that to be installed. That was my last point of call. So I think hopefully we can roll out our strain within police forces and local authority and get that joined up approach and get it included within the safety planning. Ideally, eventually, the alert's going directly to the police rather than to their next of kin.
You can also head to the KMTV pages of Kent Online to watch Oliver's documentary. Kent Police say they have made significant improvements to the way they tackle domestic abuse.
Kent Online reports.
Bosses in Ashford say they'll be monitoring land that's previously been used as an illegal racetrack following rumours it could reopen. Posts on social suggest the site within the town's Cloverleaf roundabout may be turned into a motocross venue after work was done to prevent flooding. The council say any unauthorised use of the land will lead to action being taken against those responsible. It's emerged the cost of parking permits for electric cars in a part of Kent is more than doubling. Bosses in Dover have voted in favour of a flat rate fee of £105 for all vehicles in zones in the area from later this month. Well, that's up from the current rate of £40 for zero emission cars. Councillors say the cheaper fare wasn't encouraging more people to buy environmentally friendly models. Now, there are fears a Kent community centre could be forced to shut due to a lack of volunteers. The current bosses of the South Willsborough and Newtown Centre in Ashford are stepping away after 34 years. With just three people left to run all the activities, they say they'll have to pull down the shutters if more people don't step in to help. It's hoped a hard-hitting campaign at Kent's biggest shopping centre will have encouraged more people to become living kidney donors. The Kent Online podcast has been told how six people die each week while waiting for a transplant. Well, a shop window near John Lewis at Bluewater was transformed to represent that last Friday and Saturday. If you were shopping there, maybe in the sales, you may well have seen it. Well, Bob Wiggins is the chairman of Give a Kidney, and he's been chatting to Daisy Page.
There's six people a week on average dying because of a lack of kidneys, and we need to raise awareness amongst the public that we need more kidneys to save those lives.
What are you hoping that this campaign provokes in the people who walk with
them? What we're looking for is for people to consider whether it's right for them, whether it, within themselves they think they could donate a kidney to either a loved one that needs one or a stranger indeed. And there simply aren't enough deceased organs to go around. And that's what we're trying to achieve today.
Can you tell us a bit about what you were telling me earlier about how one donation can lead to a domino effect? Can you tell me a bit about that, please?
Within the UK, we have something called the UK Kidney Sharing Scheme, which allows for a chain of transplants to take place that otherwise would not take place. If someone steps forward and is willing to donate to a stranger, they can be matched with somebody that has a partner that may be willing to donate, but they're not a match. So by receiving a kidney from a stranger, their partner can donate to another person. It creates up to 3 transplants by one person coming forward. 3 lives could potentially be saved.
Daisy also spoke to Hani Haridi, who is a kidney donor.
I think it's excellent to create awareness for people and let them know it's not hard to give a kidney. It doesn't affect your life. You can live a normal life afterwards. There's no difference at all.
And are you happy to tell me a bit about your experience?
Yeah, we were rushed in. My dad was on dialysis for 4 years. It came to the end. They said that he had to have a transplant straight away or he was going to pass away. So we rushed in at Christmas Day 2021 and had it done. And 6 weeks later, we are all back to normal health.
And what do you think about the visuals of the campaign? Obviously, we've got the mannequins behind you. We have living donors here.
I think it's excellent. I really do. I think it's the first time I've seen something like this to promote, to let people know that this can be done.
Kent Online News.
The first stage of a 1,400-home village next to a Thanet shopping centre has been given the go-ahead. Plans for the site next to Manston Court Road in Ramsgate, close to Westwood Cross, were first suggested 7 years ago. The initial phase will include 900 properties along with a primary school. Staying with development news, and a car wash business near Deal could be knocked down and replaced with homes. Plans have been put in to build barn-style properties on the site on Sandwich Road in Hacklinge. Developers say the homes would be energy efficient, using 85% less power. And plans have been put in to convert a former care home in Northfleet into flats. Dean Holm House closed unexpectedly almost 2 years ago. Developers now want to turn it into 23 apartments with 31 parking spaces. A decision on the application is expected by the end of March. Next today, this is a fascinating story. A Kent driving instructor has played down suggestions that some testing centres in the county are easier than others. Now, it follows figures that show Tunbridge Wells has the highest pass rate, with more than 59%. Drivers are least successful in Folkestone, where only 42% of people pass. Gabriel Morris from the local Democracy Reporting Service has been chatting to Chris Benstead, who's from Theory Test Explained.
It doesn't mean it's easier just because more people are passing. It means that more people achieve the pass standard. So you need to look at yourself. I would go to the government website, the Ready to Pass campaign, because I think that it's really well laid out what's expected of you on there. And then be really honest and go, am I ready to do it? Because the driving test is really important, but the driving that you do after your test is even more important. And, you know, with 25% of drivers, the new drivers coming in, having the majority of the crashes that we have on the roads, we need to be addressing that. So, you know, we want you to be safe after the test. With a long waiting list, we want you to be ready for it. But we also need people to be reflective and honest with themselves as to whether they're ready or not. And, you know, it's a real balance between the two. So pass rate is one thing. Readiness is probably more important.
And I know when I learned to drive, I was telling you this yesterday, I drove in Ayr, Luton, that's where I passed, up in Bedfordshire, and all the driving instructors sort of said, if you can drive in Luton, pass a test in Luton, you can drive anyway, because it was notorious for being a hard test centre. You know, I mean, is that something that driving instructors talk amongst themselves here in Kent? You know, I mean, they're harder places to pass, easier places to pass than other areas within the county.
But there can be areas that are easier, you know, and if you've got somewhere that has a lot less traffic, then there's a lot less to be observing, spotting and dealing with. So, you know, we look at different times of day, potentially there'll be different types of traffic, you know, different days of the week. There is an absolute myth that you shouldn't take a test on a Friday afternoon. There is no set number of tests that they have to pass or anything like that. It's how you perform at that moment in time. So there are ways that you can improve your odds, absolutely. But generally speaking, if you look at why people fail, whatever you got wrong that caused the fail is probably something you would have got wrong anywhere. So, it doesn't tend to be down to the area, it's down to the driver.
We can also hear now from Ian Brett, who's a driving instructor in Kent.
Well, I don't think it's instructors or a difference in examiners totally. They're all the same fairly across the country. It could be a case that there might be a shortage of instructors in Folkestone, so people are having to take fewer lessons when they go to test. It could be that people are having fewer lessons anyway. It might be a money thing, it might be a timing thing. So people maybe are more ready in Tunbridge Wells or in Folkestone. It could also just be that geographically people are coming further away for a test in Folkestone, so they don't know the area as well and they're not as used to the area that they're driving in.
And what sort of factors, could play a part in you having, a good test on the day? I mean, would bad traffic help you because you're doing less driving, or is bad traffic good?
It depends. I mean, I was here in Maidstone on Friday last week and the test before us was 15 minutes longer than it should have been. So in that situation, if you're in stop-start traffic, you might have a slightly easier test because you've got less chance of stuff going wrong when you're driving at higher speed. But then you've got a longer time on an examiner. I think generally, though, you want a smooth, clear run, because more traffic, people get more impatient, they're more likely to help you make mistakes.
You can let us know how you got on. Did you pass first time, or did it take you a couple of attempts? You can message us via the website or our socials. And finally, a Kent police officer has raised enough money to buy life-saving equipment after cycling nearly double the length of the River Thames. PC Nick Lingham collected more than £3,000 for riding over 360 miles in just 12 hours. The money's been spent on three defibrillators that have now been installed across Medway.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham have sacked manager Mark Bonner after a string of poor results. The side are currently 14th in the League Two table and they haven't taken any time to replace him. Former Accrington and Rochdale boss John Coleman will be taking over until the end of the season. Well, here's our Jules reporter Luke Cordell.
Gillingham were meant to be playing Chesterfield on Sunday, but the day didn't quite go as expected. Fans were clearly upset after a home defeat against Bromley, which for many was the last straw. A 3-0 defeat and a performance that mirrored the scoreline. It was a third successive defeat under Mark Bonner, whose side ended the year in the bottom half of League Two, in what's supposed to be a promotion season. With the game at Chesterfield called off, things moved pretty rapidly. Mark Bonner was sacked, and in his place has come vastly experienced John Coleman, along with his long-time assistant Jimmy Bell. John and Jimmy are best known for a long association with Accrington Stanley, over two periods and four promotions in total, taking them up to the Football League and eventually into the third tier for the first time in the club's history. It's a new challenge now, and the pair have joined until the end of the season with a clear mandate to get the Gills promoted. They start with the team sitting 14th in League Two, 10 points off the playoffs and at the halfway stage of the season. It's perfectly doable still, with the transfer window open, and taken on a group of players that are clearly underperforming so far. Their first match in charge is against Fleetwood Town this Saturday at home. For outgoing boss Bonner, he'll be wondering how it all went wrong so quickly. The Gills were top of the table at the end of September. He'd been named manager of the month in August, but their form nosedived and there seemed no way back. Results were bad, performances lousy, and in the end the owners were left with a big call. It was stick or twist time, with the January transfer window open and time running out of the season. They've opted for a change now in the hope it's not too late.
And do tune in to tomorrow's episode of the podcast, where we'll be hearing from new Gillingham boss John Coleman. And there's uncertainty over the future of a sports field in Medway as the land has gone up for sale. Developers were previously given permission to build 250 homes on Church Street in Cliff, which included the APCM recreation ground. Plans included a replacement sports ground and pavilion, but the company's now put the site on the market. Well, that's all from us for today. thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get a discount on the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.